Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're looking forward to a dialogue and discussion with you. We're going to be talking about the question today, is Jesus God? Is Jesus Christ God? There's a great controversy out there in the marketplace of ideas, especially among those that are anemic as a Christian, those that are ignorant as Christians, those that do not study and know or realize what the Word of God says. And then you have those that are the Christian cults, as they're called, that have all kinds of things to say about who Jesus was, except that he is God come in the flesh. We'll be talking about that today. And if you have any questions or comments that you want to talk about, bring to the forefront for our listeners to have dialogue and discussion about, feel free to call us. Our telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. I have Pastor Davis with me today. Pastor Davis and I will be, if you want to call it the country boy, we'll be jawboning about who Jesus Christ is and if Jesus Amen. Christ is really God. There's a lot of controversy around that. So we're going to focus on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. What does the Word of God say about these theological issues that I believe carry the weight of what we need to understand biblically speaking, when it comes to Christianity and the doctrine of who Jesus Christ is? One of those areas of the study of Christology is the fact that Jesus Christ is virgin-born and very God. He's not part man and part God. He is 100% God, enshrouded, if you please, in human flesh during that brief earthly ministry. We'll be talking about that in a moment, but ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, in discussing this or any other issue, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31-32, if you are continuing my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus himself said, listen, in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to be the absolute point of focus of what we say and do and how we respond. But truth is not sought after today. Truth is beguiled and made fun of and dissed, as the world calls it. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're finding that to be absolutely truthful, if I can use that term, truthful. That the more we speak the truth, the less individuals are going to care for us. As Orwell said, further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it's 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this powerful statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe God calls on us to do that today, is to look for the truth, search for the truth, live the truth, love the truth, learning the truth. And that's what I pray this broadcast will do each day, is that you'll learn the truth in every aspect and area of life, whether it be that which is called the political or the governmental area of life or the social area of life or the spiritual, that is the church, and any theological doctrinal question in relationship to how we ought to live. The Bible is filled from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation with God's progressive revelation of himself to man. And in that, you will find the clarity of what God would have us to do as we live for Him. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. And they can answer all of your questions about landscape lawn care equipment for the professional as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a good benchmark if you're looking for it at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a flagpole, gigantic U.S. flag there, 165 foot plus or minus in the height of that pole, with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find the flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe there's a global climate today of chaos and confusion, especially in the political, social world. Chaos and confusion. But ladies and gentlemen, that chaos and confusion ought not to be found in the household of faith. That chaos and confusion ought not to be there. And the only way you alleviate the chaos and confusion within the body of Christ, the household of faith, is to have our eyes firmly fixed on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that question then that begs to be asked and demands to be answered is, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus? Is he God? Is he a guru? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he the living Word of God? Is he God come in the flesh? That's the question. And all conservatives and central biblicists, all of us together, we recognize who Jesus Christ is. But we must also recognize that there are multitudes of people today that do not know what I'm talking about today. Pastor Davis, there are a lot of people that are confused about who Jesus is. They make errant decisions because of their lack of knowledge.
Amen.
And as a result of that, they have many questions about Jesus Christ and who he is. And Pastor, I found that across the world, the Lord Jesus Christ has been acclaimed as a great religious leader. They want some groups say that he's the greatest leader that's ever lived, as some say that he's the most influential person that's ever lived on planet Earth. Most will tell you that Jesus is unique and cannot be compared to any others.
Amen.
All those things are good.
Amen.
But yet at the same time, Pastor, there are a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of deluded thoughts out there about Jesus Christ. Let me just give you a litany, ladies and gentlemen, of some of the thoughts about who Jesus is before we get down to the rudimentary, elemental, theological, doctrinal teachings from the Bible about who Jesus Christ is. That's the intent of this broadcast today, is to clarify who Jesus is. Is he God? Or is he not? Is he divine, or is he simply a human being as a good teacher? Most see Jesus as a good moral teacher, just a good moral teacher. That's most across the universe today. A good example to follow, some say. Others say he's a good prophet. Others say that Jesus is part God and part man. 50% God, 50% man. In fact, in my Christology course, when I teach that on a semester level, in the college and university, my pre-lecture exam, I asked the students, what percent of Jesus is God and what percent is man? You'd be surprised how many put down 50-50, 50% God and 50% man.
My.
And he, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is 100% God. When he came through the virgin's womb, it's called the incarnation. When he made his debut on earth, he left heaven's glory, came to earth's gloom via the virgin's womb, and he was still God.
Amen.
But he was shrouded in human flesh.
Amen.
He was still God.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people that will challenge or disbelieve the virgin birth. Let me say this at the very outset today, ladies and gentlemen. If you disagree, disavow, disbelieve the virgin birth, then you have literally left the Lord Jesus Christ as a human being. You've taken away his deity, because it's through the Lord Jesus Christ's virgin birth that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. You find in the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. You find in Mark's Gospel. You find in Matthew and Luke. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, the first chapter, verse 21, 26 and following. Get down to about verse 35, and you find that it's the Holy Spirit hovering over the womb of Mary that brought about the impregnation of Mary. And Mary became the physical bearer of God come into flesh. But the blood that's flowing in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in his human form, was divine blood, God's blood, sinless blood. The scripture says he had no sin, could do no sin, and there was no sin found in him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's because Jesus Christ is God. The false religious leaders today and some of the false cults, some of the cults will reject Jesus Christ's deity. Some Christian denominations and pastors question the deity of Jesus at all. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it might come as a surprise to you, but the Pope has recently said, when I say recently, it was March of about a year ago that the Pope said that Jesus Christ is not divine. He's not God at all. Of course, the same Pope has already said that hell is not real and doesn't exist. He said that the Sodomites need not worry about sin because God created you that way. I could go on and on and on. The Pope has also said that the Bible is not up to date, needs to be modified. He said the Lord's Prayer is out of date and needs to be altered. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article here that this sets the stage, Pastor, I believe, on why we have so much confusion in the world today, even the world of, quote, religion, around spiritual thought. This article says, Progressive Church claims parts of the Bible are wrong because it isn't the Word of God at all. A Tennessee church, which calls itself progressive, told members of its congregation that the Holy Bible is not infallible, nor even the Word of God, during a recent service, and then it was repeated. It repeated those same lies on social media. According to the Christian Post, reported that the Nashville church, Grace Point Church, and its pastor, Josh Scott, used February the 7th virtual service to go after the Bible. The service preceded a Facebook post, which claimed, among other things, the Bible is merely a human response to God. As progressive Christians, quote, we're open to the tensions and inconsistencies in the Bible. We know that it can't help live up to the impossible modern standards today. We strive to be more clearly articulate with what the Scripture is and what it isn't, according to the Grace Point Church. The Facebook post that then claimed the Bible, on their Facebook post now, they said the Bible is not the Word of God. It's not self-interpreting. It's not a science book. It's not an answer book. It's not a rule book. It's not infallible. It's not inerrant at all, end quote. The Bible, according to these heretics, is a product of community, a library of text, multivocal, and a human response to God, while also being living and dynamic, the preacher said. Further, the article states, Scott, who looks like he wears two masks, this writer is saying, while driving alone, explained his stance on the Bible to the Christian Post after his church received backlash online. Quote, I think we definitely have a tendency to treat the Bible almost as an idol. And in doing so, we fail, I think, to see the real call, which is never for us to read something, but always for us to read it, wrestle with it, and then embody the rest of it the way we live our lives in this world. And that hocus pocus, ladies and gentlemen, he said absolutely nothing. Further, this article says, with the pastor, I reckon, speaking, I think one of the greatest challenges that happens with the Bible is that we bring expectations to it just as it's intended to bear and can't bear our intentions. Because if we go to the Bible and we're looking for really up-to-date information on how the cosmos works, quote, we're not going to find it in the Bible because I don't think the Bible is a book trying to tell us how things have changed to this point in society. Ladies and gentlemen, if that weren't so heretical, it'd be laughable. But that sets the stage, Pastor, I believe, for us to understand why so many people today disbelieve that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
It's because
Amen.
The denial of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God from so many pulpits today.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, based on, you know, what you just got finished saying, I want to say good morning, amen, to all my family and friends, everyone that's listening on today. Amen. Thank God for all of you that are listening. Amen. But it's very essential for every Christian. Now, we need to know That word Christian means that you are a follower of Christ.
That's right.
If that's the case, then you need to know who you are following. You need to know every detail about him. And if, first of all, you believe that he is the Son of God and that he is the living Word, because the book of John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, we are talking about our Savior, Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
That's right.
Amen. Now, if that's not who you have discovered him to be, my friend, then you are standing in jeopardy. Your salvation stands in jeopardy every hour.
Yes.
Because you don't have the full understanding of who he is.
That's it.
Our salvation is based upon what we believe, and we have to take a firm stance upon that. Because just like back in the Bible days, and we call it the Bible days because, amen, of the way that it's written, amen, false teachers were out there.
Yes.
And we are facing false teachers still right now on today. And what you just got finished saying, if the Pope said that, or Dr. Youngblood, that's a sad situation for him to take up a stand the way that he did, to even be able to say these kind of things out of his mouth, because people all over the world consider him the most holy father.
Mm-hmm. And it's antithetical to anything the Word of God says. And he's contrasting, comparing, and countering it today.
Amen.
In much of what he says.
Amen.
And Pastor, there's some out there today that say that Jesus was a created being. And the Mormon cult today claims that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer.
My.
They're a whole, if you want to put it that way, a hodgepodge of what people think and say. But the greatest question, ladies and gentlemen, that could ever be asked, if you're searching for answers, the greatest question that you'd ask, if you're wondering about who Jesus is, the greatest question that could be asked would be, is Jesus Christ really God? And the question is, Pastor, can we find evidence that Jesus Christ is God? Can
Amen.
We find evidence in the Scripture that Jesus Christ is God come into flesh? Or did Jesus just claim that? Or do we find those that are illiterate, as some would call it, that believe that but cannot prove it? I believe the examination of the Scripture, Pastor, will let us discover that the predominant theme of Scripture, is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the central biblicist conservative position, we know that Jesus Christ is God, and he became a man via the Virgin's womb.
Amen.
He suffered and died, shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross for the sins of the whole world, and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again, having victory over sin, death, and the grave. Ladies and gentlemen, he ascended back into heaven in his home of glory. And there he rules and reigns. But one day, ladies and gentlemen, he's coming back. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
He is that now, but he's coming back in full victory. And the Scripture says, every eye shall see him when he returns. And he's coming back in all of his grandeur and all of his glory. And ladies and gentlemen, he is all sufficient as Savior because he's Lord. And because he's Lord, it's Kyrios, owner, master, controller, creator. Because he's Lord, that speaks to his being God, ladies and gentlemen. Yet there are multitudes of immature believers today, Pastor, and lost people and skeptics today that still ask, is Jesus God?
Amen.
Or they will say, Jesus never claimed to be God. That's probably the largest answer that I've heard from people that are doubters. They say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Well, I will beg to differ with you, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that. And at a point in time before this broadcast is over, we're going to go to Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, where there's the testimony from Paul, testimony from Peter, the testimony of Thomas, the testimony of God himself, the testimony of Judas Iscariot and a Pilate, and the dying thief that says that Jesus is God. And that's where we're going in this broadcast today. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a question about who is Jesus, if you've got a question as to the relative theological thought about Jesus being God, I'd love to hear from you today. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And, ladies and gentlemen, I know the time is not going to allow us to go through the full litany of Jesus Christ being God. I teach a course in the university, the college, on Christology. It's a 16-week course, 3 hours each week, and 16 weeks at 3 hours a week. And we still do not finish the study on who is Jesus Christ in a whole semester. So you need to understand that we're going to have to do a lot of talk today to cover a large territory. but focusing on the real thought of the assertions, that is the claims, the statements that's made by Jesus and by God and by all of those that asserted to the fact that Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
But Pastor Davis, what are some of the things that you find, generally speaking, in your circle of influence, that's the greatest question about who Jesus is? And why do you find it, from your perspective, why do you find that taking place? And what do you think should be a very succinct answer as to what our listeners need to do if they've got that question?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I've heard many of things, questions asked in the circle of people that I have dealt with down through the course of my 35 years of being in Christ, going on 36 now. Amen. And some of them are unbelievable questions coming from the mouths of Christian so-called followers of Christ. Because we need to know and understand, Dr. Youngblood, if we consider the Bible as being the inerrant, unadulterated Word of God.
Yes.
We need to know and understand, first of all, that there are no lies in the Bible.
That's right.
God doesn't have any reason to tell us any lies about himself or about anything pertaining to, let's say, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He has no reason to tell us any lies or to mislead us into going down the wrong path. So Christians today, we need to dig down deep.
One of the things that you're saying that, and I understand if I can jump in for a moment, we need to dig down deep in the Scripture, need to understand the Scripture.
Amen.
What I find with most Christians today, it's surface. They want to read books, and there's nothing wrong with good, theological, sound, solid books.
Amen.
They'd rather read a book or a novel or a treatise someone has written rather than staying in the Word of God.
Amen.
Letting God's Word be the guide, letting God's Word develop for us the understanding of these theological, doctrinal truths that we need to know.
Amen. But
we find a lot of people that will quote others and say, well, Dr. Divine, I didn't say Dr. Vines, Dr. Divine.
Amen.
Says so-and-so. And I clarified that because on one occasion I had somebody ask, why do you keep calling his name? Dr. Divine is simply that hypothetical name that I'm using in relationship to a lot of people refer to what someone has said rather than what the Word of God says.
Amen.
It's sticking to the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Pastor, one of the things that I find in the study of Christology and the teaching of it for so many years, and by the way, this is an area of theological thought and study that I enjoy so much. It is a wonderful study, and I commend it to everyone under the sound of my voice today. But one of the things that I find you start out with is calling it the ascriptions. That is the names, the titles of who Jesus is. And I'll go through these briefly, and then we'll take our first caller. Number one, he is called God. And all of these scripture references, we can't go to it, but there I have dozens and dozens of scripture references for each of these names. He is called God. We're talking about the ascriptions that Jesus is found or is called in the Scripture. He is called God. He is called the Son of God. He is called the Lord. He is called the Holy One. And I could go on and on and on of the ascriptions. There are literally about two dozen names or ascriptions that Jesus is called in the Scripture. And all of them, go back to the emphasis of today's broadcast, is answering the question, is Jesus Christ God?
Amen.
I believe Susan is on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Oh, yes, Jesus Christ is God. But I think part of the problem is the Bibles that people are picking up, like the Message Bible and different versions of it, have watered it down and changed him to, it has just changed the whole message of the gospel.
Susan, you're exactly right, and you touched the old cliche, you hit the nail on the head. We have today probably some 500 or 600 different so-called versions of the Scripture. And as I've mm-hmm. used the term many, many years, most of them are not worthy of being used for wallpaper on a bathroom wall, but yet multitudes of people use them. And in particular, you can find some of those versions that you get to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him will not perish but have everlasting life. And most translations today, if you want to call them that, will not use the words in for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. They just simply say his only yes. Son. Only begotten refers to the virgin birth. And if you leave the virgin birth out, you traverse the truth of the Word of God as to who Jesus Christ is, because it's speaking of his being God when that statement is made about the virgin birth. It is God leaving heaven's glory and coming to earth's gloom via the virgin's womb that gives us Jesus Christ, that according to Colossians 2:9, in Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So you're exactly right, and I challenge folks to be careful with some of the Bibles that you. In fact, there are a lot of books that has the word Bible printed on the front that's not the Bible at all. It is a travesty, but multitudes are doing that today, not looking at the truth of what the Word of God is.
Amen.
And I've been involved in Bible study, a global Bible study, and it was just until recently that I realized that the Bible study, when it goes with their New Testament, their version of it, it just changed it so much that I can't be in the Bible study any longer because it has changed the whole Word of God. And this is a global thing, and a women's Bible study. It made me very discouraged.
Well, I'm in agreement with you, and I commend you for recognizing the error and getting out of it, because one of the things you find with so many different, quote, translations or versions of the scripture today is that I'll give an illustration for you while you're still on the air. I was sitting on the corner of a couch in a home where I'd gone in to witness to the couple. I'd been invited to do so, and went through the plan of salvation with the dear lady and was allowing her to read each of the verses. And we got through. She said, "Well, that's just your translation. Another translation might be different. How do I know that's the truth?" That's what these different versions, they call them translations. That's what they do. In fact, there's some out there that's called dynamic translations. It takes a paragraph of thought and gives one sentence or two sentences with what's called dynamic understanding of that text. God didn't give us a dynamic translation. He gave us a word for word, truth for truth of what God would have us to understand as Christians. So, Susan, I commend you for discovering that and making the bold decision, which I believe is a godly choice, of getting out of the group. And you need to be in a group in a Sunday school class someplace where the Word of God is taught verse by verse, and it is the truth of the Word of God and not a watered-down translation or version of it. But thank you so much for your call.
I will tell you, I've been across the country in 1 year, went to 40 different churches, and to find the King James Bible being preached expository is a very difficult thing to do. So I commend you too. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, and God bless you. Let me remind you while you're still there, Sunday school is at 9:30 on Sunday morning in our church, and at 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m. worship, and it's verse by verse expository preaching, and I preach from the King James text. All of my memories from that for the last 100 years, and my preaching and teaching is from that, because I believe it is the most reliable translation. Now, there's some people say that if you any other translation, you could die and go to hell. I don't go that far. I believe that if a person truly gets saved, they're going to seek the truth in the best translation, and I believe that is the King James text. So thank you so much, Susan, for your call. Pastor, that's one of the things we were talking about prior to going on the air today, is so many people with so many different translations or versions of the scripture, they can't find the truth if their life depended on it, because they're looking in the wrong book. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about asking the question today, is Jesus Christ God? What do you say? What are your thoughts? What have you heard? What are your challenges in relationship to that question? Is Jesus Christ truly God? And when we look at the descriptions it's given, he is called God, he is called the Son of God, he's called Lord, he's called the Holy One, and I could go on and on just with that. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll look at right after the top of the hour news break, we're going to look at then the attributes of Jesus. What are some of the attributes that we find? And then we'll ultimately look at, for the balance of the broadcast today, the assertions of Jesus. He was Jesus claimed to be God. Yes, he did. A lot of people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Oh, I beg your pardon. He did say that he was God. He claimed to be God. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to continue this subject, this study today. Is Jesus Christ God come in the flesh? Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to have the top of the hour news break for about a minute and come right back as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.